You got an
and
opinion?
Now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock. Yeah.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us.
No.
But if we are to
just
be
doing our best
for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear! No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here in Clare, your independence, here in Lancaster, New Hampshire, at Port Fest. We just finished up on Somalia Fest, the Pirate Fest, and going into Port Fest. And a lot of the guys, one of the speakers this Friday is going to be Richard Grove here from TragedyandHope.com, and Brett Vinatz hanging out, School Sucks podcast. And I wanted to ask Richard, you know, he'll give us kind of a thumbnail quickie on what he's going to be talking about Friday. This is definitely going to be of interest to a lot of us that have web pages and content and so on. He's been doing the heavy lifting for us to understand what can be done. But I wanted to ask him about the story we were talking about in the last hour. Hawaii becomes the first state to pass a bill in support of universal basic income. It just, you know, they passed both houses unanimously. Unanimously. We're all healed. You know, that everybody just gets a check. How do you think that's going to work out? Has that been tried before?
Good morning, Ernie.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, Brett. I was ignoring Brett.
Good.
I like this mobile command center you guys have hooked up.
Yeah, this is Derek Slopey and the, you know, Bangor Maine Hacker Club crew, the Botany Bay. This thing, it's
year after year, it's everything. More and more capable.
No, it's, I don't think you're missing anything. I mean, even got, you know, water filtration, putting in, fixing UV carbon reverse, whatever the heck, and the power thing. They're going to be taking it to Arizona again this summer. Last summer they went to the Jackalope, and they're going to do it again.
Do you explain to people where you're broadcasting from? We're inside a retrofitted 1990s, I think, ambulance that is all computer geeked out to the nth degree. I had to throw that nth degree in there for the nerds. This whole place, it's just monitors and networking and then a bunch of well-organized cables, analog video, glow sticks, candles, lighters, all the things you need at Pork Fest.
Oh, and he's got it all organized, too. He's got you know, all the little drawers and the plastic bins with the labels
on it.
It's got
poles on the side that go up and give people Wi-Fi access. It's a brilliant contribution year after year. So to answer your question, this universal health care for Hawaii, what does it mean? Does it mean everyone just gets like $1,000 a month or universal, not health care, but the...
No, universal income.
Income.
A basic income. You get, you know, instead of you get for food or this or that, you just get cash. Just live on the beach and you get cash. Accumulate cash.
Wow, that's interesting. Considering like you've got Illinois going out of business and they can't pay their lottery and that sort of thing, then all on the other side, they're like, we'll just give you, how much is it a month, does it say?
No, it's all negotiable. Oh. You know, it's all, it's just the concept, the idea that they don't want to, you know, embarrassing food stamps or they don't want to get subsidized. I just want to check.
Okay, so if I'm on the end where I don't have any money, that sounds like a great idea.
Yep.
But I probably need the insight or into where it's coming from or the foresight to say where it's going. And so as somebody who studied history, what I can tell you is that people associated with the last will and testament of Cecil Rhodes came up with this idea of the welfare state, which they rolled out in Britain in the 30s, and then America adopted through FDR and the socialism plans that have continued.
Johnson,
and so what you're doing is you're saying to people, you've got this universal income, at least if you live in Hawaii, you're going to get this set amount a month. What does that do? It crushes the entrepreneurial and inventive and innovative spirit that made...
Good! That's a goal.
People free. Right. And now it gets them on, well, if you want this check, you can't be saying this on Facebook or political speech.
Exactly.
Right. So they're getting
to be
you,
a control mechanism.
Right. So it's a form of addiction. It's not unlike just giving people a little heroin. Like,
well, if we were having this conversation 3 years ago, I would totally agree.
What would three-year-old Brett say?
Yeah. I agree with you guys.
And then what would three-year-old Brett say?
Mine, 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 mine.
But I've seen a lot of stuff in the last couple of years.
Tell us what you've
seen. I don't know. I feel like my faith in humanity is diminished a little bit. And I think that, yeah, the position that we want to have, you know, we want to have faith and say that, yeah, you know, all these other people would be able to go out and figure out how to do these things, but they're, you know, that opportunity is stolen from them in the cradle by these, you know, birth-to-death welfare systems. But...
How's that? How's that money? Where's that money come from that they're going to give out as that welfare system?
Isn't it
stolen through taxation? Or is it not theft?
Yeah, just print it.
But it doesn't mean that I'm in favor of this system. I'm just saying, like, maybe the missing part of this that I'm now willing to admit is that there are a lot of people who, you know, you're not taking opportunities away from them by just
giving them. That's a great perspective because, you know, if Connecticut did that, I could definitely use an extra $1,000 a month.
Absolutely.
That'd be great. Where does that money come from, though? Are we stealing from the future? Are we indenturing our children?
It is absolutely theft from the future. Right.
We're taking it from Ernie's grandkids, right?
Right. So I'm not talking about the moral
argument. They're on the hook for this.
Against the money. Let's assume the money's already taken, and the question becomes what to do with it. I don't...
People usually spend it pretty easy.
Absolutely. But I don't think that a lot of these people have much of a prayer without that money, you know? I mean,
you know, this
and it
is,
doesn't mean I'm even saying that's not a moral argument for giving it.
Not
to
only
them.
That, but do our opinions matter?
No, not at all.
Are the people in Hawaii going to be like, well, I heard Brett this morning on LRN.
Only one person
he's
in
got
Hawaii
some good
even
points.
Cares that you and I are here having this conversation.
The fact that they even discuss this, it's not workable. It's the launching point for another concept, for something, because I know what's coming. This is all about automation.
It's like Peter
they're
Schultz.
Worried
like technocracy?
Yeah, they're worried about...
sounds ominous.
There's going to be, you know, way too many robots and not enough jobs kind of thing. And I never saw that as a problem. I'm going, I give you an example. When you open up a VCR, you know, I remember when I was at VCR go out and I opened it up. I just wanted to see one. It was mostly open space. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of stuff in there.
Then he's like, where's the thing to remove so I can bootleg tapes?
Right. Well, the thing that I really was surprised at, you could buy, even a few years ago, they had the last hoorah, we're going to sell a bunch of new VCRs. This is before they stopped making them. They just had, for $35, you could buy this piece of crap VCR that I got one of them.
Just
and put
to play your tapes.
Just to have all my old tapes, just to have it in there so later in the future to convert or whatever.
Legacy system preservation.
Just to have it there. And one that I was replacing, I opened it up to see, you know, just how, what was in there. And I'm going, for $35, you can make this thing? You know, I was surprised and shocked that, you know, you still got a bunch of computer board and chips and mechanical and moving and screws, and I'm taking the screws out and, you know, just taking it apart with my kids and just having little pieces around just for cool, you know, we got a bunch of screws, right? So I'm going, how is it even possible to build this thing for a profit and sell it retail for, you know, $40-$50?
Slavery.
I automation, you know, at least.
Wait, what year are you talking?
This wasn't too long ago, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah, okay. $40-$50, sure.
You know, so this is...
you sell them to rich people. 20 years earlier, you sell them to rich people
$1,000.
For $5,000.
Yeah.
You know, but the, what I was interested in is how inexpensive so many I got a new Samsung anal probe watch me on the couch TV Donna got me for Christmas this last year, and it was only $400-something for a 60-something inch.
Yeah.
And I'm going, are they subsidizing my surveillance, or is that how
again?
Cheap it is?
Well, model name? What did you call that TV?
Samsung.
You called it more. You'd have like
60
an
inch. Big surveillance watch me on the couch watching,
you know,
TV.
They had that. It was in
thing.
Vault 7, the WikiLeaks hacks, that where they showed that there's a bunch of different corporations that were helping
to harvest and
sharing that data with friendly intelligence agents.
Yeah, like, yes. I'm, you know, I'm shocking.
Yeah.
But the so my point is that these electronics, the only reason that they're so, I mean, it's like SpaceX, you know, charging half or a third the price of putting stuff in the orbit simply because of manufacturing abilities. And I'm thinking that as we get more and more automated, this is going to be our life. We can all have a much higher standard of living with a lot less cost. But then they're going, yeah, but they don't have a job. So we got to, like, just give them some profit of that TV, and somebody just get a universal basic of a robot made it, and you didn't have to, but we should give you a cut of the robot's wages anyway. Mm. And then in Europe, they...
uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And we're back. Richard Grove, Brett Vanaw, we're just hanging here, getting fed and stuff. You know, Lisa's hooking us up with, lots of food have started to come in. Last night, right by the dome, it is deep fried everything. Ew. Deep fried ice cream, deep fried Twinkie, deep fried, chocolate, deep fried. You think I'm kidding? Deep fried macaroni and cheese, deep fried. Is there anything they don't have deep fried? Deep fried a lot of stuff on top of your fried hamburger. Mm-hmm. So this is, is that stuff any good? Yeah, clear your mouth.
Is there a speaker outside this place where the vendors can hear?
God, this is kind of
usually
heavy.
In the
you
past.
Put this with me, Vin?
Yeah. Usually in the past, if we talked about vendors, they could hear us outside and we get free coffee or something. But I recommend the healthy food here, the healthy, nutritious food. And if you need a deep fried Twinkie later, something that's cool. Right. But don't make it your mainstay for the week because you won't make it.
Yeah, just during the day, eat sausages. Just get a plate full of sausages. So, they're not deep fried.
Yeah, I know. This is kind of heavy, man. I'm going to split this with Brett because, damn.
What do we got inside here?
Picky. Just eat it. Don't worry about it.
Well, I want to know what's in it.
I think it's ham.
Ernie and Brett are eating breakfast burritos.
Oh, they said ham now, sausage in 5 minutes.
Yeah, okay. So I guess we got ham. Mean. Yeah, it looks like corned beef.
Oh, nice.
But, yeah, there's been, every year's different. That's one thing about the jackalope in Arizona. Did you go to the jackalope yet, Richard?
Not yet.
The jackalope is, it varies so much from year to year because you have people that will supply, what they think. We have no coffee? Well, then the next year is 47 coffee vendors, that kind of thing. And it just finds.
Entrepreneurism, though.
Hey, it just finds an equilibrium.
People saw an opportunity.
It just, it just kind of gets taken care of. And here, there's a lot. Then it's became bulletproof. I remember you introduced me to bulletproof a few years ago up here. And then bulletproof becomes big. Now it's bulletproof with CBD oil. And they got bulletproof right over here. They got the bulletproof, like these little packages, like your son was, sucking on that little Mylar, whatever the package. She has concentrate that has bulletproof coffee with CBD on it, concentrate. You add hot water to it, you get it at a health food store.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I'm going, there's a lot of health changes, opportunities for us not be sick kind of stuff that's coming out of these festivals. And I've seen it, over the years, just new botanicals coming out, different things. Curing me. The bulletproof, where did you come across that? I remember you were doing up at Joby's, you started, and I go, okay, this is all right. Then the following year, I started doing a regular basis, and it changed a lot of things in my life. Where did you get
I had a couple of friends that already drank it, but I'm pretty sure that all comes from the Joe Rogan interview with Dave Asprey.
Yep.
Yeah, his last name's Asprey.
There's other versions of it, too. Like, Rogan sells his own. I think he calls it caveman coffee. Now, Asprey wound up being kind of
a controversial. Or you get your bone broth.
That's a different channel, though.
Right. Asprey wound up being kind of a controversial figure because there was some debate over this mycotoxins that he claimed his coffee was free of. And then, there was a lot of investigation into.
Yeah, he made a big deal about it or something, and it backfired.
Are mycotoxins even an issue? Right. So Rogan took him to task on that. That was pretty much the end of their relationship. But, I think that the idea is if you're not a breakfast person, you know, and you wind up just sucking down a bunch of coffee. I used to smoke cigarettes, so I'd drink coffee, smoke cigarettes, and before I knew it, it would be 1 o'clock, and my body hadn't had any nourishment in it yet. You know, no calories from healthy fats, no protein, nothing. And that's not really a good way to start the day. So the coffee, I mean, quit smoking, number one, that's good advice, is supposed to deliver, you know, a pretty serious dose of healthy fat to get you through, like, a longer, faster
period. With the grass-fed butter and the...
MCT or coconut oil.
Coconut oil. MCT, I did some research on that. That's the... just when they process coconut oil, the leftover or something.
No, it's the medium-chain triglycerides.
Yeah, why want medium-chain? Why don't I want all the chain? I want the short, the medium, the long.
I think it's easiest for your body to process.
Absolutely, right.
Yeah, well, it can not process the one, don't want to process, and process to whatever, and coconut oil.
But some people add ghee, which is like a emulsified butter, like a melted out butter, like
yeah,
they melt butter.
Dairy sensitive.
I wouldn't. I've never done that. I'm not a fan of that. But I've done the MCT oil and coffee and no sugar in it. 2 cups of that every morning for I don't know 4 years.
No, it's been a while.
And it gives you the nice thing is it doesn't give you a buzz. It gives you a nice long slow energy burn. So when I first started doing it, and you don't like Brett said, you get into the office, you start working. Before you know it, it's sometime in the afternoon. But with Bulletproof Coffee, that same thing can happen. I could be like, oh, it's 4 o'clock. I haven't eaten anything today. But not because I was hungry or anything like that. So my body never feels like it's in need, when you have
brain
carbs.
Food.
Right. So fats versus carbs, your body, you know, wants sugar and carbs, and they want it continuously. But if you're eating fat, like a higher fat diet, your body's, like, in my case, more stable. So everyone's different. But I found that it worked for me.
And I tell you what it did. This
haven't had any ill effects.
This is why I did it. One was, I remember you guys going on about it, and I tried, it doesn't suck, and, you know, whatever.
Well, and I used to put sugar in all my coffee. So, like, when you're putting sugar in the coffee and nothing nutritious in there, that's a lot of, like, extra stuff your body doesn't need.
Yeah, no, it's not doing any good. But the when I do it, all of a sudden, it's the fats are fuel for your brain.
Yeah.
So it allows you to think more clearly, and for duration, I do the show, and then I have a couple hours of editing and a bunch of other crap to do. And because my focus is so much better, and I can work faster, and my memory is better, it cuts about an hour a day out of the time it takes me to do all this.
Right.
So not only am I awake, I get an extra hour a day because I'm more efficient in doing it. But the reason that I started was, as I get older, you know, and your libido kind of goes, your testosterone may slack a little bit or whatever, and a homie didn't want to play that, so I'm just like, no. And I just happened to come across an article that weight builders, bodybuilders, they would have low testosterone, and they were thinking it's because of their steroid use or something. They go, no, we don't use steroids. We're competing. They test us for whatever. What would happen is they would cut all their oils when they get cut, you know, for definition of their muscles. When they did that, those fats were the foundation of building the testosterone.
And the cell walls and every
part
all of
your kinds
body,
of crap.
Including your brain. Your brain's made out of cholesterol.
So if you don't have the these fats, these oils and so on, you don't get a lot of the other hormones and chemicals and stuff that you need, enzyme, whatever the heck your body needs. It builds on these fats, these large chain, you know, like coconut oil, saturated fats, and the grass-fed butter. If you don't do that, it's not the same. You know, I can tell. I've done all kinds of different variations.
Okay, so there's two notes. First off, the butter is unsalted. So it's very creamy, and it's grass-fed, and I don't know, pretty much the only brand we've been able to find is Kerrygold in a silver package.
Right, yeah.
That's like secret code to people who drink Bulletproof Coffee.
It's really either that or ghee. There's not many other options.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is that Donna uses, but yeah, it's, you know, whatever.
Makes it thick, creamy, frothy, and it stays hot longer.
And it makes it to where you're not eating a lot. You know, like we had Bulletproof this morning. They got it's been the rage, and I tell you,
well,
it helps
when people pay
you focused.
$5 a cup for a non-Starbucks coffee.
There's a problem with not eating enough too, so we could talk about that.
Food. Be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And we're back. We got another half hour. How controversial can we get in the last half hour? What are we going to do to leave you hanging? Oh, my God, I can't believe they said that on the radio. You know, Richard, first, go.
I'm really psyched to be here at Porkfest.
But this is the first time you're actually speaking, isn't it?
Yeah, I got roped.
Well, how'd that come about?
Lynn Ulbricht said you should speak at Porkfest. I said, well, they never asked me, so like, you know, I just go there and hang out. And then I got an email saying, hey, will you speak at Porkfest? So I was like, okay. And then they gave me VIP bracelets in exchange for that. So that was access to the tent.
I got VIP.
And the free.
Of course, I had to pay for it, but you know.
Yeah. Well, I certainly hope by the time I'm your age, I get that kind of treatment and respect too.
Long overdue. Having Rich speak here at Porkfest. I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, no, my this year I don't have any obligation other than the dome. I didn't really want to, you know, worry about it because we had so
and when
much
he says
to do with
dome,
that.
There's a 20-foot or 30-foot icosahedron.
23.3-foot
icosahedron in the influence of Buckminster Fuller that they have set up, and then they have some coverings on it. It's the with the pirate dome. Pirates Without Borders have a border within the dome. Is that what it is? Limitations?
You know, there's also nothing holding the dome down. There's
really?
Nothing, it's not staked at all. So, good gust of wind.
Could make things interesting.
Absolutely.
Didn't do jack yet. You know, that's one thing about, because I have a lot of experience with these domes.
I love when he dares nature.
A lot of these domes, you know, that I have, when it gets really windy, unless you get air, which this could do because they got two big doorways here, you know, it might be able to get up in there, but generally when it blows over it just presses it down.
Yeah,
you know, so it's really stable. I've had really high winds on
my dome.
Already
has in his backyard, actually.
Yeah, I have two
hydroponics.
Yeah,
aquaponics.
Have you?
Yeah, I've been to your house.
You've been over. Yeah, you've seen. Mm. You know,
that relates to the coffee conversation. So you must have cut your coffee way down, because the last time I was
man,
at
he
your
used
house,
to drink it like a madman.
Yeah, you were showing me your aquaponics. And then, like, we'd run inside, we'd do a segment, you would chug, like, a French press full of coffee.
Get your mic on
and
access.
And then the break would come, and you'd go, let's go to the next place! And you'd get up, and then you'd come back, you showed me your battery station, you'd show me, like, one thing.
Every 4 minutes.
Yeah, from each aspect
four minute
of your
break,
house.
Yeah.
And then you'd come back, chug another French press. Donna would have another one there. You'd chug it. I don't even think you had a coffee cup. This is how I remember.
No, this is pretty much how it is. It's just, bulletproof.
Yeah, but wait, you're still drinking that much coffee? You're like multiple French
I probably
presses. I feel
go
like you had
through
about 3 liters of coffee.
I probably go through
on grass-fed butter.
Yeah,
he
I
was
probably
and scooting around.
1, 2, 3, 4, 7 is probably equivalent of about at least 5 cups of coffee a day.
Jeez.
Oh, five, Ernie.
Oh
this
goodness.
Was like it was felt 10. Like you had like 15.
You're
maybe
such
I'm exaggerating.
I don't know. It's quite a bit. Well, I tell you, in the third hour we start, you know, weaning it off and going to tea. You know,
mm-hmm.
have her, you know, heat the tea and you know do that. But it gives me such an advantage. I mean, doing 3 hours, you know, getting up early in the morning and doing that, and then all day of, you know, the news and sending stuff off to Ecuador. We have staff where they post. I got to go through all the, you know, hot links on the web page and the editing, and I'm doing everything at the same time.
And I think people
because while
Coast,
something's processing, I'm over here doing it. So if I don't have that bulletproof, yeah, I'm not able to do it.
People on the East Coast underestimate your powers because for them it's 9 to noon.
Right. Right.
But when you stay at Ernie's. And you have to get up at like 5:30 in the morning to do the show. You're like, wow, this is commitment. He does this every day.
Yeah. You know, the thing is that I like doing the early morning because if it wasn't for me having to get up, I wouldn't get up till 9, 10 o'clock.
And you're done.
Yeah,
by
half my day
time,
is gone. So, yeah, no, I'm pretty much done with what I have to do by 1, 2 o'clock.
Right.
And then all the other stuff is, you know, like dome stuff or battery stuff or this stuff or that stuff or going around and grandkids. And I mean, you know, it's just, it's busy. I mean, Don and I, you've been there. You know how it is, man. It's just rock and roll and whatnot all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all of our activism, you know, how you having your first child, how's that?
Focused, clarified.
Timeline.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, in 10 years, he will, you know, go, yeah, no, it's like tick, 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 you know, time's a-going.
How many kids do you have?
I have 2 boys, 2 girls from 26 to 32, something like that, and 11th grandkid I just found on the way.
Oh,
congratulations.
That's amazing.
Yeah, my son, you know, one of my sons.
The next generation of freedom is here.
He was the only one that didn't have you know, a child. And I just found out that, you know, he has three stepchildren, you know, and they're awesome. But he's the only one that didn't have his own, you know, and pass on, you know, a male offspring of, you know, that kind of thing. His brother has two. But so he, for Father's Day, he called me just Sunday, you know, so it was a couple of days ago, called me, said, all right, yep. Yeah, we knew that they were having a baby, but they haven't said anything because they had two miscarriages, and they didn't want the other kids to be upset again. And so it's coming up on 12th week. They think they're okay. They can do a urine test, I guess, of the woman, and it tells you the sex. And it's a boy. So I'm just going, cool. So he's so all's good with the Hancock clan. Then when we leave here, we're going to Oregon. I'm going to the Azure Standard Farm guys. They tried to force them to do Roundup on their organic farm.
Yeah.
You know? And so we helped with that and promoted what was going on there. They had 56,000 calls and emails or something that went into the county.
Yeah.
And he just freaked. Well, they kind of got, you know, making a deal to where they're not having to, some kind of other plan when I have to chemical it. Because after you put chemicals on it, you can't be organic certified for 3 years. So that just devastated. I put them out of business.
Yeah, because the chemicals, they just go away after 3 years.
Right.
So that soil cleans itself.
Well, so after
you
hear
phyto remediation with hemp, you just leave it for 3 years. It's all good. Thank you, law.
So next Monday, I go to Portland. I'll meet Donna there. Then we go do that show. Then we're going up to Blaine, Washington. A friend of ours, Jacob Lamont, has Evergreen cannabis distributorship there, a dispensary.
Evergreen.
And then we're going to visit with some friends up at a farm there, and my son and his family is coming, so that's going to be awesome. But what we're doing in Blaine, as last year when we went, I got to meet a lot of the growers and all that kind of stuff. Davi and I have been working on the artwork and so on. We're going to have our own two pirate strains of marijuana that we're, you know, getting ready to do. So that's one thing we're talking
about. What are the two strains?
You know, I don't know. I'm looking at, you know, this is
that's
the one.
That's a fine question.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's going to, I want, this is the deal. I want to have going in the battle, yeah. You know, you're going out partying, going in the battle, you want some sativa kind of like,
Berserker.
You know, ready to go.
Okay.
And then I had the rugby tournament of I need to freaking recover and I'm going to couch lock for a couple of days and, you know, and heal. You know, so you want to have the, before the battle, during the battle, and then the other one is kind of after the battle recovery, you know?
Sure, yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of the idea. That's what we're going to be testing.
So there's like the plunder and post-plunder? Is that what the two themes are?
Yeah, see, could be.
Pirate plunder.
Yeah, no, I was like, you know, pirate unobtainium or something. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's one thing. The first thing you want to do is you want to have the right kind of
well, branding
experience.
Your way to the new market, dude.
I'm sorry?
Branding weed is a new market. I mean, I think it started with, like, naming strains Jack Hare.
Oh, no, no. There's a lot of creative stuff. We can come up with some pirate thing. But I'm really looking for the features and the benefits that I want for me. And then, of course, I can't order it. It only have to be, I think I can only do it in Washington State. I don't know if you can ship it or do it. I mean, that's just, you know, it's becoming a pain in the ass.
The man. Damn it.
I remember when we had a quiet media room with a guest audience.
Mm-hmm. Now there's four-wheelers and whatnot.
Well, the media room is something that they, LRN and Free Talk Live, kind of rented, and they've been excommunicated. You know, I'm allowed, though, because I'm normal.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
Well, and having a mobile command unit at your beck and call kind of makes you want to do something cool with it, like have a show in the morning.
Yeah, no, these guys, you know, the guy's got cameras everywhere. I mean, you know, it's a hacker club out of Bangor, mm-hmm. and they got this for just a few $1,000s. I mean, it was some ridiculous amount of money. They got this diesel ambulance that was past its time, and it's awesome. And he got solar power up top. He's got everything LED. He's got the power.
It's a rolling example of freedom.
Yeah. Well, it's made to be a multimedia live stream, can't stop the signal already posted kind of cop block thing.
Pirate broadcasting.
Ooh.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't.
It's got pirate curse words.
Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Rhodes? We don't need no Cecil Rhodes.
You know, I should have been checking my email over last week. Damn. You know, there's a lot. Yeah, you know, I get to it. You guys know, you get over it. The what were you talking about? The Alexa, what?
Oh, there was an Amazon commercial spoof where instead of Alexa, they had the voice of Alexa Jones responding to the family's questions.
So it'd be like, oh, okay. So it's like a
Alexa,
spoof
how many
something?
Teaspoons in a cup? And then it would have like some crazy clip out of context, you know, but it was still kind of informative in a funny way.
Well, I remember them doing this one. Would you ever lie to me, Alexa? No, I would never lie to you. Do you work for the CIA?
And then Alexa
just
says,
silent.
No, I work for Amazon. And then you say, doesn't Amazon have a contract with the CIA to provide data services? And Alexa's like, I guess I do work for the CIA.
Did it really?
No, I'm just kidding.
So, I guess we got to watch it. What was it if we wanted to watch the
just type
Alexa
in
Jones thing?
Amazon Alexa Jones. That was one of them. And then Paul was telling me there was a new, I guess, Tuck Buckford that Colbert has been doing to make fun of Jones. That what was that? Was that a tweet this morning? How'd that work?
I think just Alex Jones himself said he's going to be doing the character on Thursday.
You know, this is they're really going after Alex. They think that he did elected Trump or something. I mean, why are they so? What do
I
they
think
care?
It's just so the rest of us don't get like the news that's coming out, because everything then becomes on the show instead of covering news and reports. Like I used to tune in because that you get a perspective you're not getting other places. But ever since Trump has run for office, it's been like Trump train, Trump show, this and that, media, hype, hit pieces, got to focus on this, got to apologize about this, you know, all these other things that have gone on. So I think there's a lot of us out there that are like Jones and are starving for like a good, clean, independent, freedom-based show that actually covers news every day in place of that.
All right. So last... Are we in the last
but you
segment?
Can't play that clip because it's got a bunch of curse words in it. Somebody at LRN will be hitting that button every 3 seconds.
Oh, hell, LRN doesn't care. It's not them. It's the affiliates. I mean, I have some other networks
What's
and affiliates
the
and so
FCC?
On.
FCC.
Yeah, no. There's some license that they have to explain.
License
I had
for public airwaves.
I had a guest host one time. It was a Jet. I don't know if you guys remember Jet Lacy. He was when we had the Freedom's Phoenix workshop in her studio there. He was my board op, and he would fill in for me every now and then. And, you know, it's always when it's not their show, man. They're always bringing on, you know, the song, doing kind of, they were going to cancel my show in Portland if I didn't promise that he would never do the show again.
Yeah, well.
I mean, it was, you know, and I think what it was
for the people
is,
who get fined on the other end, like, that's serious business, so.
You know, I don't think it was so much a cursing or something. It was an anti-cop thing.
Oh.
You know, it was some, you know, I don't know, some spoof, some that he liked or whatever. And
I try not to paint things with the big wide brush. I try to use it with the medium brushed.
Well, or you have to come up with codes, right?
Yeah.
Allegories.
Well, you just talk in terms of freedom and slavery, then there's all sorts of people all over the place violating that. But when you want to make it one specific group and then only talk about that one side, that's...
All right. You know, I agree.
It might be in conflict with the people who put that show on the airwaves.
Absolutely.
And you could probably say that someplace else.
Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing that I'm not sure how to take it, it's that in a lot of places around different networks I'm on and so on, I'm... You know, either right before or after one of the networks, it's me and then Alex Jones show. And I'm just wondering, they called them, I didn't know who they were talking about. I took a break from radio for a while because I had to get caught up on a bunch of stuff on Freedom's Phoenix. And when I came back, I went to the third hour because they needed a three-hour block. They wanted to go up against, I don't know, Sean Hannity and Rush and all that kind of stuff. And they called Alex the megaphone. Well, the megaphone this and the megaphone that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like... What the hell are they talking about? You know, the megaphone. I'm going, oh, that's how they were referring to him. It is the megaphone.
Right.
And so it's our show is, God, it's unique. It's not in the, I'm not trying to just scare everybody. I'm trying to inspire. You know, there's a lot of cool stuff coming. And that I think, and that's where you come in. You got a lot of the history of what the overall long-term plan of these guys are. And then, you know, how can we thwart it? Is there thwarting?
Do you need to thwart, or do you just need to out-survive them?
Yeah, I don't have to outrun the bear. I just have to outrun you kind of thing. I want to ignore the bear.
If you run downhill, bears have trouble with that because of their legs, how they're formed.
Really? Go downhill?
Yeah.
And face plant. Be like a Luke face plant.
And I think if you're running from an alligator, you have to zigzag because they have trouble with that. So you just have to know like the shortcomings of the animal that's trying to prey on you.
Yep.
Right.
Okay, so give me the government shortcoming.
It exists. Okay, so government and authority in general through the government, the state, is a lot like the ego. So you might not want to get rid of it completely because there are maybe a couple useful things, but you definitely don't want it in the driver's seat making decisions on your behalf. You kind of want it in the back seat or on the trailer or in a car driving behind you, you know.
I want it at a rest stop. I might stop by.
Yeah, leave it there, man. Leave it there with fear. You know, put fear and government in the same thing and just drop it off and don't come back and pick it up.
Well, but, you know, I think every individual just goes back to, I don't have to be faster than the bear, I only have to be faster than you. It's every individual's responsibility to learn their way out of this situation.
And right? How not and to be the slowest.
Learn how to be free world, right? So you're only trying to stay ahead of the people who choose not to, you know, put the time or the effort or the research into how to live a freer existence in a very unfree
And part of that is you have to like avoid being put in a cage because they claim the right to do that.
Right. But, I mean, I think you'll just be left alone if there's enough other people to take advantage of. And that's
okay,
sad,
now that's one thing.
You can't save all those people.
No, that's one thing that I, you know, a lot of us that are doing this stuff and you have various degrees of success. Do you feel you're going to be targeted in any way?
Wrong.
You know, a little extra taxation here, a little bit more requirement there.
The tallest thing. That's the lightning rod principle, right?
I don't know.
Let the megaphone do it.
I don't know. It's not like you blend, okay? You know, so I you know, it's not like we blend. I mean,
no,
we're not
but
blenders.
I don't provoke. So I mean, so there's that.
I do worry about that.
I'm on the field, but I'm not wearing red.
Right, right.
Which there's something to be said for. I mean, back in the day, there was a lot of groups that would wear costumes to be like, "We are here. Look at us." Mm-hmm. Right. This is maybe I'm plagiarizing from Dan Carlin's Countdown to Armageddon when they were talking about the Prussian forces and their red plumes on their helmets and their blue jackets and stuff. But they
shoot
were
me,
it wasn't camouflage was the point, right? Mm-hmm. And when people started using camouflage, they thought, oh, that's kind of cowardly.
Right.
But
right.
I say that those people were just jealous because they didn't think of camouflage and they got stuck wearing big red plumes on their heads.
Right.
Well, you know, I did ask a lot of these questions, and I finally got at least a satisfactory answer. The reason that they did all this in a line as they're shooting and all that, you know, it was, and while the colonists, they would be behind the trees and stuff.
Yeah,
it was so they wouldn't run away.
Yeah, well, it's limited. So you're not just. So it used to be,
and you had the officers in the back shooting them if they left.
Men of honor would meet on a field of battle. So it starts with a duel, and then you just add more people to that. But now, like, so the real tactics of American warfare changed during World War II, where the United States leaders got convinced that it was okay to firebomb civilians and burn a whole city like Dresden, a whole city of people alive. And once they did that, then they had already crossed that threshold of ethics and morals where they're like, oh, incendiary weapons on civilian populations. And then it led to Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole, you know, multiplication of those devices. Because they built them under the guise of, we need to build this device to end the war. But the way they built it was that they could make tens of thousands of them. So what was that all about? Right?
Well, exactly. And that was, I mean, the price that the United States soldiers unfortunately paid after that is that every enemy since then has said, oh, rules of engagement's not a thing you do anymore.
Right.
Fine. So Vietnam, that's all guerrilla warfare. Everything since, you know, post September 11th is all guerrilla warfare, insurgents. Which one goes inside the woman and which one blows you up?
IED.
IED. Sorry.
Oh, God.
Sorry about that, everyone.
I was like, what the hell is he
sorry.
Talking about?
He'll be here all week. Try the veal.
Yeah. So.
No, do you think there should be, you know, there's rules of war? I mean, yeah, that.
Well, Clausewitz didn't think so. I mean, that's where the idea of total war comes from, and attacking a civilian population or just, you know, making it all out on all fronts. You know, destroying livestock, assault the fields.
Fabian strategy.
It had gone on in the past, but then it kind of more formalized through the Renaissance and then the imperial and colonial periods where they all had those uniforms that we see in those movies all the time and the reenactments.
And they get the Prussians with their fire discipline, and that spreads here. So,
yeah.
And von Clausewitz is
well,
part of that.
It was the Prussian education system that made guys not run off the field because they instilled a sense of duty to the state.
Absolutely.
So, like, brainwashing was really developed in the 1800s.
You put discipline in their minds.
And the recruiters coming in your senior year. I want to explain it to you. For America. You know? Well, now we're trying to just find in the truth. You know, and meeting some guys, having some fun. We'll have a great show for you again tomorrow. You guys, we'll see you then. Peace.
Wow.